Welcome to the City Gospel Movement's podcast. This is a special series sharing the Adaptable Playbook, a framework for success for your evangelism team. Together, we'll explore 11 proven steps that really work for cities across North America who want to raise the temperature of evangelism in their communities. We will hear from practitioners in these cities, humble leaders who have wrestled faithfully with the challenges these steps address. We hope you leave these conversations encouraged and equipped to own the lostness of your city, one step at a time. To learn more about evangelism teams, the Adaptable Playbook, or what God is doing through collaborative evangelism efforts across North America, visit citygospelmovements.org. Today, we will hear from Jeff King, CEO of Love Fort Wayne, whose vision is to bring the church and community together to love the city and see it flourish in Jesus' name. He shares about step two, mapping the Christian ecosystem of your city. In this step, you will create a database of evangelistic practitioners, churches, organizations, individuals, events in your city. Map out relational connections and discover the neutral conveners, connectors, and people of peace in your city. Who else is doing evangelism in your city? You don't know what or who you don't know. Developing a list of potential evangelistic partners will give you the critical perspective needed to develop a citywide effort. Let's hear what this looks like in practice as we dive into today's conversation between Jeff and Chris.
All right, well, welcome back to our little mini series here going through the Adaptable Playbook. My name is Chris Goff. I'm with the City Gospel Movement's team here at Palau and super excited to jump into this conversation. I think this conversation today is why a lot of us have kind of gotten into this work. It's this idea of looking through the greater ecosystem of our city, of who else is out there, what else is going on. And very excited to introduce Pastor Jeff King from Love Fort Wayne, all the way from Indiana here joining us. Jeff, thanks so much for jumping on the call today.
Yeah, absolutely, Chris, man. I'm honored to be with you.
Yeah, Jeff, you've got quite a history in Fort Wayne. I'd love for you to share a little bit about it, but I know you've been a pastor. I know you're a gifted speaker, you're a gifted communicator. Tell us a little bit about how you got into this work.
Yeah. So, I actually started my work off doing home base Christian counseling for boys, and I just had a degree in Christian ministries. Didn't necessarily want to serve within the local church when I was younger, straight out of college and straight out of school. So got into some sports ministry and did that for a really long time. Our plans are our plans, right? So I started to have some vision, some dreams, and some conversations with some mentors about a call that I felt to serve within the local church. And so after doing that, as faithfully as I could, over a handful of years, just over six years, my time of doing that was done after some interim leadership at our church. And I decided that I was just going to chill for like 6 months and relax. God had some other things in store. And so really my heart for, I know we'll probably chat about this, but my heart for missional community and local mission and the oneness of the church of our city, serving within the local church in the context of our city, man, it got my heart fired up for what we could do more collectively together. And so there was a role here at Love Fort Wayne where we were changing a little bit of who we are, and they were looking for a new leader to help do that. And the door opened up for me to do it, and I've been leaning into it for about 3 years now. So it's been great.
That's awesome. Yeah, and I've had the privilege of coming out to meet with you out there, which was just so awesome to come see Fort Wayne. Very cool city. I really enjoyed being there. But you guys have this beautiful prayer room that I found it quite a remarkable experience going in, seeing kind of constant prayer happening in there, giant map of the city, giant map of the world. You use the word glocal, right? Like that's literally what's going on in there. You got a map of the world, you've got a map of the city, and you've got constant prayer going on. And I walked in and really just felt, wow, this is a sacred place.
Yeah, man.
This is a beautiful place. I was thinking back to when I started doing some of this collaborative work in the city of Seattle, and you know, as we transition to talking to this idea of how would you actually map what's going on in your city and how does that affect evangelism? I remember one of the first things I did was I just started meeting with people, right? As you've done, I don't know what the coffee budget is, but it's strong, right? I mean, we go, we meet with people, we connect, and we just start to discover the things that God is doing in our city. I made a spreadsheet. I remember it. I put across the top different things that people might be convening around: service, foster care, engaging schools, prayer, serve days. And, you know, I have this, I don't know, maybe 20 categories at the top. And I started calling people around the country to see what they're doing in Houston and different places. And what I found was everybody was doing something that I was talking to, but everybody was doing prayer. It was like, without the prayer piece, you know, when Jesus says, apart from the vine, you can do nothing, like that word nothing is pretty strong. It's like, you can't do anything at all. And I just remember that. I mean, I just locked that away. Like, that was like, okay, that none of this stuff works without the power of the Holy Spirit, without being connected to the vine, without being rooted and established in love, you know? And that's really the foundation, I think, for the conversation we're having today. So it's just beautiful that you guys have that space. So as we think of that foundation, right, Paul talks about one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one body, the head of that body is Christ. And this idea that, you know, John 17, unity, these are all themes that we talk about a lot in the city movement space. But sometimes, though we agree with these things kind of theologically, practically, we don't really know who that body is in our city, right? Like, we maybe haven't done the work of going around and just learning what's going on in our city. And I would like to know, kind of from your perspective in Fort Wayne, what did that process look like? So, you know, God has a mission to your city. You're a part of that mission. So are others. How did you develop that heart for the whole city? So that's one question. And then the second question would be, what did that process look like of kind of learning who else is out there in a, you know, a pretty huge area of Fort Wayne, Indiana?
Yeah. Yeah. I love these questions. I know for me personally, I think it started back when I was working with Athletes with Purpose. And when you're not only doing sports performance training with kids, but you're running, you know, Christian faith-based leadership academies, and at a training facility, you see kids from every corner, crevice, and pit of the city. So, and I use those words on purpose, and you see it from the high places and the low places. You recognize, like, man, these are different types of families, none better than the other. They're just different. And it gives you a different perspective of this. The community that we live in has just a variety of individuals, and you transition to more traditional local church ministry, and work in missional, focuses really centered in on our city, where we go not only to the neighborhood surrounding us and where I live, but to different corners of the community and partner with other churches. I started to see, like, oh God, you're doing something completely different among people that is the same, because you still have, you're still one God, right? And you have this meta-narrative plan that you're doing, but I see what's happening in this neighborhood, in this neighborhood, and with this church. So that was a personal perspective that really started to build my heart for the one church of our community, because what I was seeing, how he was aligning hearts, even in different ways of different types of families, people, and congregations. But for Love Fort Wayne, quickly it started even before me. We have these pillars of loving leaders, pastors, schools, and families, again, with prayer as the foundation. And there's many nodes to those primary networks, right? But they started with, who are the folks that we know that love the Lord, that declare him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that have a heart for one of those areas? Who are those people that love leaders, that are serving, that are pastors, love ministry leaders, whatever it may be? And we know that even if they're in a secular-based organization or entity, they love the Lord. So let's bring them to tables and ask the question, what could we do? What should we do? What will we do as God's people? So it was more of like a large kind of invitation, partnered with these, like you mentioned, one-on-one interviews. We call them interviews, right? With people from the community, getting their pulse of what's happening in the city, what the Lord is up to. So we've continued that onward and continue to do that even up to a couple of days ago.
So as you guys have these interviews, that's a great idea. I mean, we talk about that idea of a listening tour and you know, it's that idea of actually getting to know people, you know, which is different from a survey, maybe getting some technical data, but there's a real difference when you sit across the table and you're joking around a little bit, you hear a little bit about someone's family. You know, you start to, I know Jeff, you're a big runner, right? So it's like,
yeah,
you know, like you start to just kind of get a fuller picture of who this person is and what they're doing. As you guys have done that work over the years with Love Fort Wayne, how have you seen that affect the culture of the church, of the body of Christ in Fort Wayne? And how has that maybe affected evangelism? Like, I know for a lot of our e-teams around the country, you know, kind of one of those basic goals is how do we raise the temperature of evangelism? How would something like having coffee with, you know, I love that, those categories, leaders, pastors, schools and families, like how would meeting with those people raise the temperature of evangelism?
Yeah. So in a couple of different ways really is a, I think it helps because sometimes those conversations come up organically. I'm thinking about a woman in our community that does great works with families before the family is displaced, right? And mm-hmm. before the state has to get involved. She galvanizes the church of the city to step in. And that is evangelism. And she was talking about walking with families and talking with families and being at baptisms and sitting with people for years before they asked the question, just having, you know, gospel, pre-gospel conversations, you know, and to encourage me to say, man, all right, well, call her by name and say, man, you're an evangelist. Like who, there are other people like you that have a heart to not only serve the least of these with Christ's love as if it was him himself, but you're in the forefront of your heart is to go and make disciples, to share the truth of the gospel. So you learn it that way. So you're able to see on one end, okay, she's working in such a capacity to go share the good news, but then also it's an encouragement to her to tell her, hey, you're not alone. Did you know that there's another person that's doing this? They have the same mindset as you. And then doing our best to say you should connect. And so I think that has raised the temperature where we're then able to be a node connector to one another, to people, and say, you guys should do more life with one another or come to spaces where we can help you do that.
Yeah. It's kind of that Elijah idea, right? Like I'm the only faithful person left. And then the Lord's like, well, I can name a few thousand more in this area. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I remember, I remember back to meeting with people and kind of having this picture of when you're walking on the beach and you kind of, it looks like there's not much going on. You got some waves, you got some ocean, but you flip over a rock and you see all this life, right? Like there's a crab under there and some crazy looking fish and, you know, a starfish or something. And you start to realize that there's just, God is busy and active everywhere. Mm-hmm. And in every heart, and that gives a sense of confidence, a sense of purpose, a sense of like, oh man, maybe I'm the only one that's seen this. Hey, you guys should all come see this. Like, check this out. There's this huge starfish over here, or whatever. But this idea that as you discover the activity of God in a place, like you said, it encourages and raises the temperature of faith, right? And it's right. Like, well, wait a minute, if I'm not alone in this. Jeff is with me in this. I know that much, you know? And so then you start to build out that ecosystem. You start to tell those stories and you really do build the level of faith. And I think that's needed for evangelism. Evangelism is kind of scary, right? Like,
yeah. Oh man. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a hard thing for people to jump into, but when you start hearing people's stories, you start hearing, you know, Jeff, tell us about some of these youth that you're working with. And you start to hear how the gospel actually does transform lives. It encourages you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've seen, and you and I chatted about this when you were out here, you know, it's, there's some folks that what they do professionally in ministry is help oversee evangelism-based ministries, right? And there was this yearning for them to be more connected. And it was just the almost, I don't want to say it's simple, but the simplicity of saying, let me go with you. As a mutual convener, as a neutral convener, saying, let me go with you in the invitation to some of these other folks that I know too, and create the space and the table for you guys just to first build relationship first and you know, and then see what the Lord might be up to, what the Holy Spirit says to you all about putting your hand in one's direction to raise the temperature of evangelism in the city. And so, yeah, when you recognize that you're not the only one and that there's other folks that are excited about it, even in the hardness, as you talked about, of doing it, man, then you can be an encouragement to the folks that it doesn't come to them as naturally. But sometimes you just have to know you're not the only one. And I think my role and our role as city movement leaders is to help create spaces for folks to know that they're not the only one, and then to galvanize them as galvanizers to do the work together.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I remember reading a very encouraging piece of data that was described as negative. So Barna, I think it was in 2018, said that there were 54% of Americans describe themselves as having a relationship with Jesus, and that was the lowest number they'd ever recorded. And I remember thinking 54%, like, that's incredible, right? I mean, it's like, that's a remarkable number. And of course, the more encouraging thing is that as of 2025, the number is now 66%, which is crazy. And so there's definitely something happening, but part of it is, I think, just that the enemy has a tactic, right? To steal, kill, and destroy. And I firmly believe that isolation is one of the key strategies in that work, in that destructive work. And so this idea of, actually, let me tell a better narrative, show you some other things that are going on. One of the things that I try to coach people with on this step, right, if you're mapping the Christian ecosystem in a city, is like, hey, this should actually result in like an Excel spreadsheet. Like, you know, Jeff King, contact information, With Love Fort Wayne. He's doing a couple of these things, and just this idea of like, okay, getting a sense of what's going on in your city. And as you do that, you kind of get a sense of the way the kingdom is moving, the way that God is directing his people in a place. And it's very exciting, but you end up becoming a storyteller for the city because you've stopped and like learned the story. You know what I mean?
You know, Eric Swanson will tell us, yeah, we have to, you know, Chris, you and I, we should know our city better than anybody, right? So, and I think like in our community, you know, not to sound haughty, like we have a relationship with our mayor. She's a great woman, loves the Lord, comes to our monthly prayer gatherings. And, you know, there's just a really short conversation we had about, oh yeah, who I know here and who I know there. But it's those types of things. And it's not about me. It's about us taking the time, you know, to, as we map our city, to have those authentic relationships or connections to people where we should be able to tell the authentic and true stories of our community. You know, the gospel temperature, the needs, the broken areas, the places of thriving and flourishing, because we're connected to the people that are serving in those areas or doing the work that the Lord has called for them to do to help with the flourishing of our community. We know those folks, or we should know those folks, and then we can tell the stories.
Yeah, and I think that's really good. And I think I heard somebody say stories only happen to people who know how to tell them, you know, like everybody had a crazy day, but this one guy really knows how to say that well. And yeah. You know, everybody had some. Actually, he had the least crazy day, but he's the one who's got the great story for the day. So I think part of it is being able to tell that story well. But the other part I love about it, Jeff, and I know this is true of you. You have the heart of a shepherd. You care well for people, but you kind of can't make it about yourself. It's like by nature, you're literally going around lifting other people up because you're like, man, you should hear this crazy thing that's going on, you know, at Fort Wayne Rescue Mission. Like, let me tell you this cool story that's going on there. Which I believe are you on the board, I think, of Fort Wayne Rescue Mission, but there's just amazing things happening. And so you become this person. I think if you do this part well, you become this person who speaks hope over the city. You think of that, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Like, you're like, man, I'm going to share some stories of hope over the city because I've gone and seen them. I've heard these stories. Mm-hmm. And so that's a really powerful and important role in a city ecosystem. Paul talks about the tendons in the body that hold the parts together, right? Like this thing that, like, man, we're somebody, this is being held together by these people who are intentionally holding things together. But I have a question for you in this. As you've looked at these broader connections in the city, how important is it that you keep that neutral tone, you know, that neutral convener concept? I would just love to hear your thoughts on that briefly. How important is it as you go to all these places that Love Fort Wayne remains in that posture of, hey, we're holding everybody else up?
It is important. It's super important to us. I think it's super important for anybody that's in a similar role in their community that the Lord has called them to hold that position. For me, it just starts with listening. And I know that's really elementary, but it's so foundational. It's biblically foundational. We have a God that inclines his ear to his people. I love that he listens. And I think that if we're to be more like him in this work, it's to listen at the table with folks. You know, I might be in a place with somebody that is, you know, of Lutheran denomination or, you know, missionary denomination, whatever, non-affiliated. And so the practices or the liturgy, the liturgical, you know, practices may be different for on a Sunday or a midweek. And for us, we've just learned to say, we want to be, one of our values is being city positive and city positive, us from a gospel perspective. So, and if folks are doing something with more kingdom come in mind, with more John 17 in mind, and believing the things we do about the truth of the gospel, then we want to posture ourselves to support them, to point at them first. Even if I've had folks say to me, well, why are they leading worship? I'm like, well, I know them, you know, they love the Lord and we want to be able to have brothers and sisters from different practices and traditions in our faith lead and pray, and hold that line well. So it starts with listening, starts with knowing what you value, being city positive. And then I think we set the example for other brothers and sisters to Christ to continue to let their guard and their walls down, to love without bias as well.
Yeah, that's very well said. And I think that, you know, the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you, right? And so as we find those people who have a love for Christ, and love maybe some part of the city, right? Like maybe it's the school or something like that. We can kind of develop those, both of those pieces. Like, hey, we're gonna increase the love for the whole body as we get to know the whole body. And we're gonna increase the love for the whole city. And so what you end up doing is sort of facilitating this role of encouraging and building up the church while also encouraging and building up the mission of the church, because the one thing we all have together is we're all from Fort Wayne. Like this is the place where we're at, where we're living out our faith. And I don't know, to me, it's like, what could be more exciting than that? I just love it. Well, Jeff, I thank you so much. Any final words of wisdom for us as you think through this idea of going into the city, learning what God is doing throughout the city, and then leveraging that to encourage the body, to illuminate things that are going on in the city. What kind of final words of wisdom would you give through your experience to those who are tuning in today?
Yeah, I would say do as we kind of chatted about. Take those individual moments to engage with people, have those coffee moments. And I would also say map your categories of outreach too. That's been really helpful for us to say, where are people already coming together? Sure. Where's their big need? So make that big list, like Chris said, but then map those major categories that come to mind for us is like unhoused ministries, women's advocacy, youth ministry and outreach, financial stability and freedom from a Christian leader's perspective. We've done 5 to 6 to 7 of those categories. And then we call people that we've had the individual connections with to one gathering every 4 to 6 months and just let them share together, pray together, talk about their needs, the things that God has been saying to them. So after you do those initials, I would say map out the key 5 to 6 areas and then call people to a common table, not with an objective to try to mash them together, to hurry up and work together, but to pray with one another and build relationship with one another. It's been really effective for us. It's been life-giving and it's led to more unified work in those areas.
Yeah. Well said. I think, I think one problem that I have calling this a step is that it really is an ongoing work, right? It's not like you did step two, 5 years ago, and now you know everything that's going on. It's like things are constantly shifting, things are constantly changing, but this is really a practice, right? It's like, hey, I'm going to just have a couple of coffees this week if I can. I'm going to meet a couple new people, catch up with some folks I maybe haven't seen in a couple, you know, a little longer than maybe I intended to. And that's just how you keep fresh and keep sharp. Well, this is such an encouragement. I think this is really one of the most fun aspects of this. It's like just seeing just the adventure of seeing all the things God is doing in your city builds hope in you. And then you get to then sort of share that with others. So Jeff, thank you so much for joining us on this. Yep. And I'm wondering if maybe you could just close us out with a prayer of encouragement for those who are joining today.
Absolutely. Let's pray. Well, Lord, thank you that we can truly say one faith, one Lord, one baptism with you, Lord Jesus, at the head. I pray that those who are listening, even myself and Chris, Lord, that we would be continually encouraged by your prayer for more kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven, by your prayer that we would be more one as you and the Father are one. Father, may we keep those things at the very center of our heart as we think about our community, Lord, because there is something new and fresh that you are doing even now in our midst. And we know, Father, what was once perfect and flourishing at the time of creation will once again flourish again. But Lord, you in the in-between, in the kingdom come, but not yet, Lord. There is a work that you have called for us to do in partnership with you, Lord. And so as we keep your lordship at the center, as we keep your prayer for us and your commands for us and prayer to pray for more kingdom to come, may we be encouraged to join you in your work, Lord. And I just pray a special blessing over anybody that's listening as they begin to build relationships with others in their community, that you align them with divine conversations in the right seasons and moments that lead to the next steps of what you might be calling for them to do for an evangelistic purpose of sharing the gospel and building more followers of Jesus. And so thank you, Lord, for your hand that's at work among your people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
What an encouraging conversation. To learn more about the ideas shared in this podcast or to download the Adaptable Playbook, check out citygospelmovements.org. Join us next time for a conversation with a city leader who has deep insight on step 3, establishing an adaptable e-team framework.